Last 2 days were really wonderful. We got to spend time in fasting and prayer. I don't know any other church youth where the youth are so happy to fast. You know, they look forward to fasting and praying. So I thank God for our youth. Our youth have such a desire to grow closer to God, and they have a desire to have an intimacy with God. So it is a joy for me to be among our youth. And I certainly believe that that is something that's fostered even at home, and it's something that's fostered with the church. So I'm really grateful for the church investing in the kids and the youth, and them wanting to spend time, and the parents who really pray and intercede in the background, because I believe that your prayers, your tears, God answers them, and these children will develop and change, and they will want to be more like Jesus. What greater honor is there for us as a church when we see the next generation on fire for Jesus? So that's our greatest joy. Amen. And, 2 days ago when we were talking about, we talked about sin. And that's not something that we hear often. We talked about sin, the gravity of sin. We talk about why we Christians talk about the cross. What is the meaning of the cross? Why is that the universal symbol for Christianity? And we talked yesterday about repentance, and we talked about forgiveness, and then we talked about how we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that is our intention. And today I want to continue a little bit with that. It's not related to the topics that we talked so far, but it's something that progressively gets even more serious. Last 2 days have been very serious messages. It is very heavy atmosphere, but I believe that today also is a continuation of that. So we're going to turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 5, verses 4. Velupada, Anjam Adhyayam, Adhinde Naalam Vakyam. Can someone read it for me? Thank you. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you, Father, for this time that you've given to us, Lord, to come into your presence. God, we want to hear from you. And Lord, we know that you are a prayer answering God. So this morning, Lord, we just pray as we come, we seek your face. We surrender ourselves to you. We want to hear from you, God. Thank you, Father, for the message of the cross. Thank you that you made a way where there was no way. Thank you, Lord, that you are our God and you are our Savior. Help us to meditate on your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Gigi, also for speaking earlier today to talk about the power of prayer and the reason how prayer is not just talking or communicating, and it means more than that. There is a depth to it that is more than just speaking. Very often when we think of communication, we just think about a dialogue. There is so much more than dialogue. You can be silent in the presence of God. You can weep in the presence of God. And it comes from a place of surrender. Everything that we do has to come as a Christian from a place of surrender. You can talk to God by dictating to him and say, God, how dare you? That's not prayer. So is talking to God, is all talking to God prayer? No. There, in the life of a Christian, prayer is birthed from surrender. And last time I gave a message from this pulpit, I said, surrender is the life of a Christian. You cannot live a life of Christianity unless you start with surrender. The last 2 days, the message has been the same. If we cannot move forward, it's because God wants us to surrender. Very often I said that, you know, we forget that surrender is not a once-in-a-lifetime decision. It is a daily occurrence in the life of a Christian. It's a daily denial of the self. It's a daily decision that you make saying, Lord, I cannot do this. I can't do this in my power or in my ability. So Lord, I fall flat before you. That is worship. Worship is surrender. And we talked about last time. But today, we're going to talk about Revelation chapter 5, verse 4. In this we read, I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Now, this is an interesting statement in this passage. Revelation chapter 1 to 3, we get that Jesus is the one who's giving revelation of himself, about himself, to John, who is in Patmos, but it is meant to be served to his churches in the world for all time period. So when he gives this word, Jesus then gives John a vision and tells him, come up here, let me show you things that are going to take place. That is, and this is right after the seven messages to the churches that Jesus himself dictates and John writes down and sends as letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which is in present-day Turkey. Then when John gets up and he gets caught up into a different dimension, a different portal in Revelation chapter 4, and he is transported into the holy room of heaven. He is transported into the throne room of God. And he sees God sitting on his throne and the angels worshiping him around and round and round. And we sang this morning, we cast our crowns, we throw down our crowns. In English we sang. And the reason why we sing is because God is seated on his throne. And he has been seated from the beginning of time, and he will continue to be seated until a certain day. God is seated on his throne, and nothing can shake that. Amen. And that is actually a reason to have joy. It's a reason to worship God, because God is not shaken by what shakes us. Our God is not disturbed by what disturbs us. God is not concerned or shaken up or worried about future. He's not anxious about the state of the world right now, because he is sovereign and always in control. Hallelujah. So there is nothing that can happen in your life which will make Jesus go, I didn't plan for this. Hallelujah. There is nothing that you can face in your life where God is saying, oh no, what are we going to do now? God is in control. He is sovereign. He is on his throne. And he reigns forever and ever. So it doesn't matter what situation we are facing in front of him. Our God is a prayer answering God. Our God is a God who is not disturbed. Our God is a God who does not change. Our God is a God who is unshakable. Our God is an almighty God. Our God is an all-knowing God. He's an almighty, all-knowing, ever-present help in trouble. So this morning, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, there is hope for you. There is a message of deliverance for you. There is an answer to your tears. There is an answer to your prayer, because God is on his throne. When we have gathered together, I've said this before, years before I said this, that when we are worshiping him, we are being transported into the very throne room of God. Hallelujah. We don't recognize it, because physically we might still be within four walls. Physically we are standing on a carpet. Physically we might be seated on a bench. But the Holy Spirit, through the scriptures, makes it clear that we are seated in heavenly places. So when we worship the King of Kings, don't be fooled. We are worshiping God in his throne room. You are being transported into the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament, that worship happened in the courtyard. Worship happened in the place where the gates of the temple was, and before the most holy place, because that's the place where the normal people could gather. And the only people who were allowed to enter into the holy place was the priests, who were consecrated for a greater purpose. Nobody else had access to the holy place, because they did not consecrate themselves. So even when Hannah walked into the courtyard, she sat by the door of the holy place, because she could not enter, because she's not a priest. So she cried and made such a ruckus that the high priest came out of the holy place to see who is causing this disturbance.
and saw Hannah sitting there in the courtyard crying. Children of God, hallelujah. In the Old Testament, the cries and the tears and the sacrifice and the wash basin had to be outside the tent of the tabernacle. It was within the temple, but it was outside the tent that covered the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was where the Shekinah glory of God resided. It was the place where only one person could enter into that room once a year. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest did a sacrifice where he confessed his sins and he consecrated himself, and he was supposed to enter the holy place. From the holy place, he would then enter into the most holy place carrying a bowl of the blood of the cow that represents the cleansing of his people, because the people were sinners. The question remains, how did the high priest enter into the most holy of holies? To this day, nobody knows. Because the curtain that separated the holy place and the most holy place, there was not a slit that was tying it. There was no separation that could separate them, because they didn't want to even accidentally open the holy of holies. So the curtain was falling flat without a separation. You won't see this, but when you study the book of the Leviticus and Deuteronomy, where we get the arrangements for the curtain, it'd be hard to see a place of how the high priest entered into the most holy place. If he had to get through, the only way is if someone had to open the curtain from down to bottom, and he would have to kneel down and enter into the most holy place. I believe it may have been a supernatural event. That's not what I'm coming to say anyway. But the only way one human being could enter into the most holy of holies was only once a year on the Day of Atonement, when he could walk into this place. And it had to be a supernatural thing, because no other priest could have helped him to get from there, from the holy place to the most holy place. And so he got into the holy place once a year, because that's the only day he was consecrated and pure enough to come into the presence of the holy, holy, holy God. In the New Testament, with the death of the perfect lamb, the sheet, or that was the veil that separated the holy place and the most holy place, got turned down. Can't imagine what the priests must have felt. Oh no, what we have never been exposed to has now been exposed to us. Can you imagine the shock? They must have all tried to get out of that place, because they are afraid that they would die when they encounter the Holy of Holies. And so, finally, the veil is torn, and the priest can enter into the Holy of Holies. In the New Testament, Peter tells, we are royal priests, consecrated by the precious blood of the Lamb. And Paul teaches us that therefore we can come before the presence of this most holy God without fear or trembling, because his blood has consecrated his priests, who we are, so that we can come into the presence of God. So this day, as we worship the King of Kings, we're not entering his gates only. We're not just coming into the holy place. We are coming into the Holy of Holies. And we are face to face with our God. While this is something that we recognize and realize as spiritual believers, it is something that we usually do not witness in our senses. But here in Revelation chapter 4, John gets the privilege to enter into the most holy place with all his senses around him. And he gets to worship God and be in the midst of people who are worshiping him 24/7. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. In verse chapter 4, verse 8, they said, day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy. Day and night, night and day, incense is worshipped in heaven. Now let me tell you this. Your worship does not add to the worship of heaven. And your lack of worship does not subtract from the worship of heaven. That means there is nothing you can do to elevate God further. And there is nothing you can do to cause God to be demoted. In fact, even if in all of creation at the end of time, not a single human being makes it into the place of glory, God still wins. God doesn't need us. It is foolish to think that God depends on us. He doesn't. He doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our worship. He doesn't need our money. Then why are we here? നമ്മൾ ദൈവത്തിനെ എന്തിനാണ് ആരാധിക്കുന്നത്? ബിക്കോസ് ദൈവം ആരാധനയ്ക്ക് യോഗ്യൻ ആണ്. We worship him not because he is elevated on our praises. We worship him because he is worthy to be worshipped. He is worthy to receive all glory, honor, power, and praise. Even if you are silent, the stones will break forth in praise. If you are silent, the creatures will bring forth praise and worship to their king. So the Lord is not dependent on you, but what happens when we worship him? We participate with the angels in heaven. We are joining a heavenly choir that is saying, holy, holy, holy. We get the privilege of worshiping the King of Kings face to face. We get to worship him regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our situation, regardless what place you are coming from. You are transported into the Holy of Holies, worshiping him. So after Revelation chapter 4, John receives this great vision. And then in 5 verse 4, he starts weeping. What makes you weep? And the weeping there is not because he is coming from a place of worship. See, we all ചിലപ്പോൾ നമ്മൾ ആരാധിക്കുമ്പോൾ നമ്മൾ കരയാൻ തോന്നും. We feel like crying because we feel overwhelmed by the love of God, by the grace of God, by his presence. So we feel like we are moved to tear up. All we can do is cry out before God in worship and praise to him. But here, John is not worshiping him with weeping. There is something else happening. Let's read Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll. Verse 3. But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And so John is crying because nobody can open the scroll. What is the significance of this scroll? Now, let me use an example here. Imagine I'm a bully in school, and one of your children
every day when they come home, they have, they're hurt, they're hit, they have bruises, they have a black eye, they have a cut lip. And you as parents are concerned, what is going on? At first you hit him and say, "Eda, nee adil kariyo." Then the next day he keeps getting, he's like, "No, I did not get into any adi. Someone give me something for nothing." So you're like, "That's not okay." You get upset. You're like, "Okay, go tell your teacher." He went and told the teacher, nothing is changing. Then you decide you're going to take matters into your hands. So you go to the school, you meet the teacher, and the teacher says, "Yeah, he gets beaten up by this bully, but it's okay, not a big deal." What will you feel as a parent? See, as parents, you're like, sometimes we feel that way, you know. We get the right to punish and rebuke and hit, but nobody else should. But panda kaalathil angane illayirunnu. Parents sonna, "Hidicho, you take my scale, you give him a metal, take my chappal also, hit him also, no problem." That was how I grew up, you know, with getting hit by teachers. And then if I went to my mom and dad and told them my teacher hit me, they'll be like, "I'll come back to your teacher and tell you to give him more." What kind of parents, right? So, but thank God, we are a different generation. That's not what we say if our children come and tell us, "My teacher hit us." We'll be like, "Okay, let's go to a lawyer. Things will be different." But anyway, so this time when you know a bully is hitting, you go to the teacher. The teacher says, "No problem, it's okay. Not a big deal. That bully is a nice kid." Will you sit there and be like, "No problem, it's okay"? No. You will go to the principal next. You will go to the principal's office and say, "Your teacher who you hired is telling a bully that it's okay to hit my kid." And the principal says, "No problem, sir. It's okay. It's good for them both to be there like that." Will you be satisfied? "Oh, thank you, principal. All right, let me go home." No, you're going to go to the school board. If the school board doesn't respond, you go to the provinces issue. They go to the Department of Education. If the Department of Education goes, then you write to your MLA or to the local provincial leader over here. If that doesn't go, then you appeal to the Prime Minister. If the Prime Minister doesn't happen, then you bring your own lawyer. Whatever you do, you want to fight for justice. Can you imagine a world where there is no justice? If there was no justice, who would appeal your case? Who can you go and say, "Please, don't mistreat my child"? If there is no justice, who will defend you? Who will fight for you? A world without justice is a world that is evil. And we are reaching that stage where we are seeing injustice increase in the world. So the thing is, we want justice when someone wrongs us. But if we are the ones doing the wrong, no justice. Right? All of us love justice. Namak ellarkum oru vidhi venam. We want an answer for our justice. We want a judgment passed. If it is favorable for us. But if it is not against, if it is against us, then we don't want justice. Okay, this happens to all of us. You know, if I get pulled over by a police car, I'll be like, "Ethra aalkar munne poi, avare aarum pidichilla, enna thanne pidichu." And you're upset, and you're thinking of ways to get out, even though you did wrong. But if someone else moves faster than you and is like honking and tailgating you and is coming and giving you, like, moving out of traffic and making trouble for you, you're like, "Let me call 911 right now and report this guy to the police." See, the thing is, in our heart yearns for justice. A world without justice is terrible. So we want justice. Let's turn our Bible to Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Can someone read it for me, please? Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. So over here, we're seeing that the prophet Ezekiel is seeing another scroll over there. And this scroll too, the same thing. Verses 9 and 10. I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me, and it was a scroll which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. So this same scroll is the same scroll we see in Revelation chapter 4. In fact, in Daniel chapter 12 also we see the same scroll. This scroll is a scroll which is not like any other scroll. When people write on scrolls, they write on one side of the scroll. They don't write on both sides of the scroll. You open the page and then you see what is written. This is a special scroll. On both sides of the scroll, both inside and outside, words are written. What are the words? Here it's written of lament and mourning and woe. It means it is a scroll of judgment. It is a scroll of judgment. ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ ന്യായവിധി എഴുതിയ ഒരു സ്ക്രോളാണ് ദി സ്ക്രോൾ. My question is, John, why are you crying because nobody is here to open the scroll of judgment? See, if you know that something is going to produce judgment, you're trying to delay the process. Here, John is crying out and weeping, God, who is worthy to open the scroll? It's because he understands that only God is the final person of appeal. He is the Supreme Court Justice. He is the major judge. Every person he appeals to has been rejected. Every appeal for his justice has been denied. The only place where he will get his answer for his justice is at the hands of his just king, the ruler of the universe. So he is saying, if I need my justice, if the cops fail me, if my local judge fails me, if my teachers fail me, if my parents fail me, if my principals fail me, the only person who can answer for my judgment and I get my justice is at the hands of God. Look into your own life. Haven't you faced injustice? Haven't there been seasons where you felt this was not right? What that person did to me was not right, but you cannot appeal it. You cannot say anything about it. What does it make you feel? Hurt, abused, angry, upset, frustrated. And you're like, I wish I could give him one, but you can't. So you feel this anger inside. That is a righteous anger that births within every human being when they're being trampled upon because of injustice. So when John cries out, God, pour out your judgment, it is in fact the cry of every human being. Because we cannot live in an unjust world. Because right now, the person who's ruling over the earth is the most unjust person in the entire universe. The prince of this world is Satan. And he is unjust. So every injustice that has happened to you is birthed out from a corrupt prince and ruler, which is Satan. And so at the heart of every human being, even though we might feel that it is this human being who did this injustice to us, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the only person who can take down this prince is someone who has already defeated him and has claimed authority over the enemy. And there is only one person who can claim it. Anyway, my time is up. I had so much that I wanted to share. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, it talks about Ezekiel eating the scroll. In Revelation chapter 10, we see a picture where John eats that scroll, and Daniel gets a revelation of sealing up the words of the scroll for a time period that is towards the end. And then in Revelation, Jesus reveals that I am writing this for that the servants in the end time will receive this revelation. And the seals have started to open one by one by one. And when the seal, the fifth seal is open, there is a cry that comes down from the altar of heaven, and the martyrs who died, their blood cries out, say, God, how long will it be till justice comes upon the earth? And so are they are given white robes and told to wait for a bit. And so there is a lot more I want to say. There's so much I want to say. I want to talk about who is this judgment for. And this judgment is for every person. It is not just for a believer, but it's also for the unbelievers. And all of us will have to come and answer in front of a king. What a scary day that day will be for every single human being. Can you imagine? We come before God who is holy, and he knows our thoughts and he knows our ways, and nothing is hidden from him. What a scary day that day will be. And for us as children of God, we will say, how? We don't want your judgment, God, because we are afraid. But let me tell you that the answer for this cry is found in Zechariah chapter 3. Don't take it. When the high priest Joshua is standing there before the holy presence of God in the holy of holies, there is the accuser that stands beside Joshua and says, look at this man, ready to accuse him, ready to rebuke him. But even before Satan can open his mouth in front of the judgment of the high priest Joshua, there is a person who tells him, shut up, Satan! I rebuke you. Keep your mouth shut. This man is a man that is saved from the fire. A brand plucked from fire. I'm going to put white robes on him. I'm going to put a clean turban on him, and changes his judgment, where the person who's bringing his accusation against you has to keep his mouth shut. Can you imagine if Satan could speak and tell you why you shouldn't be in heaven? Whew. We all would have a great list. Jesus says, shut your mouth, Satan. I give you no authority to speak over my children. That is why in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Paul can confidently say, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Revelation chapter 7, we see who are these people. These people who have gathered from every nation, tongue, culture, language, coming together to worship the God, and they're waving palm branches saying, Hosanna to the highest, to the one who's come to save us. And all of heaven is also rejoicing because there is one person who is worthy to break the seal of judgment. So your justice is fighting for you. What you have faced in your life, the injustice you got from your parents, the injustice you got from your family, the injustice you got from your neighbors, the injustice you faced from your brother, the injustice you faced from your sister, the injustice you got from your own children, there is a God who will answer every cry, starting from the blood of Abel to this day. If there is any person who is crying out, where is my justice? Appeal to the highest court. Appeal to the King of Kings. He is the just God. And if you don't receive your answer, don't give up hope, because there is a God who will judge the wicked. And we who are saved. My time is up, but I have to say this hope. In Matthew chapter 22, there is a parable of Jesus, or Jesus says about a man who invites everybody over to a wedding feast. All of them come, but the people who are invited don't make it because they make excuses and they say, we can't make it. So he sends his servants and he invites all the other people from the street to come in. All of them come in. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 11. Is it? Matthew chapter 22? Yeah. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And said, how did you get here? How did you come to a wedding feast and think you can make it? So he told his servants to take this man out and put him in the darkness. Children of God, no one will make it to the wedding feast of the Lamb unless they turn to Jesus as their advocate. No one will be able to make it to heaven unless they get an advocate in Jesus Christ. That is why when Jesus came and told his disciples, do not be sad, I will send you a helper. The Greek word there is used as parakletos. The word parakletos does not translate into helper that well. In fact, in English, the best word that would translate that is an advocate. There is an advocate who's fighting for you right now. There is an intercessor who is interceding for you right now. So it doesn't matter what situation you're going through. It doesn't matter how nobody else might see what problem you're going through. No matter if everyone else misunderstands your problem and your situation, there is an advocate who's fighting for you, who is interceding for you, who knows your heart and is revealing your heart to the Spirit of the Father. That's what Romans chapter 8 teaches. So let me tell you, children of God, this morning you may be in the presence of God today, and you might be in the Holy of Holies, and you might be looking around and saying, they don't understand my pain. അവരെൻ്റെ സങ്കടം കാണുന്നില്ല, എൻ്റെ ഞാൻ പോകുന്ന എൻ്റെ വിഷയം അവർക്കറിയത്തില്ല. ഞാൻ ആരുടെ അടുത്ത് പറയും? ആരുടെ അടുത്ത് പറയും എൻ്റെ വിഷയം? ആർക്ക് മനസ്സിലാകും? ആൻഡ് ലെറ്റ് മീ ടെൽ യു, ഹാനയുടെ കരഞ്ഞൽ, എൻ്റെ കണ്ണുനീർ കേട്ട ദൈവം, കണ്ട ദൈവം ഇസ് ദ വൺ who is seeing you in the Holy of Holies today, and he sees the injustice that is happening to you. And it doesn't matter who is against you, because the one who is for you is greater than the one who is of this world. The one who is fighting for you. The one who is defending your case. The one who is an advocate for you is the one who is greater than the prince of this world. So you don't have to wait till judgment day to celebrate. You can celebrate now. That is why John is weeping. God, who will release your judgment, your right justice? Veendadukka petta kootame vegam unarno velachi ande kaalam vannadthu Pentecostin chaliyane. It is a joy for us. End times is not scary for us. Andekalam namukku pedikkanulla samayamalla, namukku nirasha varan samayamalla, namukku tension adikinda. ഇറാൻ അടിക്കട്ടെ, ഇസ്രായേൽ അടിക്കട്ടെ, ഈ ലോകത്തിൽ ഭൂകമ്പങ്ങൾ ഉണ്ടാകട്ടെ, ഇറ്റ് ഡസന്റ് മാറ്റർ വാട്ട് സിറ്റുവേഷൻ യു ആർ റീഡിംഗ് ഇൻ ദ ന്യൂസ്, ഇറ്റ് ഡസന്റ് മാറ്റർ ഹു ഈസ് ഫൈറ്റിംഗ് അഗൈൻസ്റ്റ് യു, ഇറ്റ് ഡസ് നോട്ട് മാറ്റർ ഇഫ് ദ ഫ്ലഡ് ഈസ് ഫൈറ്റിംഗ് അഗൈൻസ്റ്റ് യു, എ എർത്ത്ക്വേക്ക് ഓർ ഫയർ ഈസ് അഗൈൻസ്റ്റ് യു, ദ വൺ ഹു ഈസ് ഫൈറ്റിംഗ് ഫോർ യു, നിനക്ക് വേണ്ടി, He is fighting for you. He is your advocate. He is your defense. He is your defender. So you are not alone. നിന്നെ കാണുന്നവൻ, യെസ്, നിന്റെ കണ്ണുനീർ കാണുന്ന ദൈവം, നിന്റെ സങ്കടങ്ങൾ അറിയുന്ന ദൈവം. പക്ഷേ ഇന്ന് രാവിലെ യു ഹാവ് ടു മേക്ക് വൺ തിങ് ക്ലിയർ, മേക്ക് ഷുവർ ദറ്റ് യുവർ അഡ്വക്കേറ്റ് ഇസ് ജീസസ്, സോ ഹി ക്യാൻ ചേഞ്ച് യുവർ ഫിൽത്തി ഗാർമെൻറ്റ്സ് ആൻഡ് പുട്ട് ഓൺ ഹിസ് വൈറ്റ് റോബ് ഓൺ യു. ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് വൈ ടു ദ ചർച്ച് ഇൻ സാർഡിസ് ജീസസ് സേസ്, For those of you who are dressed in white, you are worthy. to walk with me, and I will not remove your name from the book of life. And that is why in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, Jesus finally comes and all nations, all kings, all people are revealed in front of him. And can you just take Revelation chapter 20, verse 15? And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Is your name in the book of life? This is a very important question. What must I do to gain eternal life? Only by Jesus. Because what is impossible with man is made possible with God. Hallelujah. I'm going to end my words here. Can I have the worship team come forward so that we can do the worship? And I'm just going to pray. Father, Lord Jesus, God, we just surrender our lives to you. Lord, we don't want to rely on our righteousness, which is filthy rags. We don't want to rely in our ability to save ourselves. We don't want to rely on our ability to overcome sin because we are not our own savior. We come to the advocate. We come to the paracletos. We come to the Holy Spirit. We come to our helper. We come to our intercessor. And we say, help us in our time of weakness, because Lord, there is nobody else who understands my situation. My spouse does not understand me. My parents don't understand me. My children don't understand me. My own situations, my co-workers don't understand me. My boss does not understand me. My teachers don't understand me. My pastor does not understand me. Nobody understands my situation, but don't give up hope, Lord Jesus, because we have a person who is fighting for us, who sees our state, who hears our cry, and is a prayer answering God, who is fighting for us even right now. And so God, we thank you that we get to experience freedom and the lack of judgment even right now. So Lord, just like John is weeping, we weep along with him because we want to see the judgment pronounced against this wicked world. Because at the heart of every human being, we want justice, we want judgment, we want our prayers answered. So God, Maranatha, come Lord quickly. Prepare us for your coming. Clothe us with your righteousness. Clothe us with your white robes. Wash us in the precious blood of the Lamb. Help us to be found without spot and blemish, blameless in your eyes. Now unto him who's able to keep us without falling, I submit our church to you. In Jesus' name, amen.